Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The FT.
I remember it was a Friday night, says Jeremy Ashby, on receiving the news that would make him question his attitude towards his profession more than any case he had previously encountered. I remember that clearly because it ruined my weekend. It's not, on the face of it, the kind of news that would have many of us hurtling towards anxiety and self-doubt. The phone call came last year from the restorers of Kenwood House, Robert Adams' masterful neoclassical villa on the edge of London's Hampstead Heath, which was freshly reopened to the public on Thursday after a £6 million refurbishment. The restorers had been working on the gilding in the house's library, long regarded as one of the jewels of 18th-century English architecture. There was bucket loads of it, recalls Ashby, all over the column capitals and elegant reliefs, giving the room its distinguished and distinctive character. The only problem was that it didn't seem to be original. The call that caused Ashby such distress informed him that they had found a layer of white lead paint underneath the gilding. More important still, there was a thin film of dirt between the white paint and the gilding. This showed that the extra layer of decoration had been added decades after Adam's original room had been unveiled, to great acclaim, in front of Kenwood's owner William Murray, 1st Earl of Mansfield, in the 1760s. "We've got to have a meeting," Ashby remembers telling his caller. If you're head curator of historic properties for English heritage, such discoveries entail difficult decisions. In this case, one that would determine how Kenwood would be perceived by future generations of visitors. The technical challenge of restoring one of London's most notable interiors had just acquired the sharpest of ethical dimensions. Here was the dilemma: whether to make a radical change in the appearance of the library in an attempt to evoke its original appearance, or to respect the added decoration which was added soon afterwards and leave things as they were. The debate which followed, with strong opinions on either side, according to Ashby, reflected a long-standing controversy over restoration in Britain. Cack-handed attempts to restore things to an imagined pristine condition were sharply criticised by the likes of William Morris in the 19th century, who believed that the layers of amendment evidenced in a place or object were more important than the reproduction of its alleged original state. "To strip away was to destroy history," said Morris. "I have my own views to declare here. I'm one of the very few people, we are widely derided as nutters, who think that the 1980s restoration of Michelangelo's Sistine Chapel in the Vatican, the most important such project in recent history, proved to be a crushing disappointment, and am happy to be old enough to remember it in its previous state, when the artist's frescoes looked more real, more subtle, and more moving to me than in their present incarnation. I'm well aware of the arguments that were presented to justify the restoration, but they have been rebutted with no little ferocity. In the end, it comes down to taste. Which is why one of the most important principles of restoration today is that of reversibility." When Ashby finally made the decision to go with the plain white version of Adam's library, there was never any question of stripping away the gilding. Instead, yet another layer of white paint was added to it, which could comfortably be removed by future historians who may decide that the gilding did better justice to the room after all. Ashby says that the clinching argument was that the room as seen today is a plausible version of what it looked like when Adam first unveiled it to his delighted client. "This is partly a technical triumph. Paint analysis has become much more sophisticated in recent decades, but also a testament to a greater professional scrupulousness on the part of the restorers. The very acknowledgement of the decision's difficulty shows an awareness that these issues live and breathe according to the air of the times. Whatever we think, contemporary taste shapes the debate every time it is played out. It's no coincidence that the 1960s restoration of the library provided it with a thick carpet of the kind that was in our homes of the time too. The carpet is now gone. The bare wooded floor that we saw this week is an original feature, but it also happens to accord with fashions in interior design. The result of all the agonising makes a fresh visit to Kenwood essential. For those not in the know, it also houses some extraordinary paintings, among which is one of Rembrandt's greatest self-portraits. The library looks lighter in every sense. Sit in the middle of it for a few minutes, and you can hear the ghosts of all those heated domestic discussions replaying endlessly over the decades. Darling, I'm not saying I don't like it, but don't you think it's a little too white? I've thought of a new colour scheme. The beholders of beauty, each and every one of them, will always have their say.
For more downloads, go to ft.com/podcasts.